Hosting for this podcast is made possible through mtgcast.com, which is supported by a generous contribution from quietspeculation.com, Magic's premier trading and financial news site.
Hello, and welcome to the second episode of At Your Instep. My name is Morgan, and I am joined again with Jordan and Mike, and we are here to share some more interesting stories about our local Magic community and some stories at large. And we always like to start off with something a little bit funny. So I at least noticed the new MTG hashtag of MTG Bards.
Hashtag.
You know,
suffering succotash.
You know, you sound like a sex radio. Like, hey, everybody, on here tonight with the At Your Instep, piloted by Mike Big Lips Kenny and Big Fro Jordan.
Well, listen, I'd like to soothe my prey into a lull.
Morgan Mac Daddy McCarl. You sound like you just called
too many
me
Macs
like John Medina.
There.
Yeah. Like, anyway, MTG Bars, go.
Yes, MTG Bars. So, found this on Twitter today, and I thought it would be funny to start off with our own one. So, my MTG Bar would be the Stencia Beer Hall. I thought that was pretty witty. What about yours, Jordan? You said you had a pretty good one.
Yeah, I didn't want to reveal it because I want the actual reaction from you guys, but Aether's Vial. Oh, no!
Yep. I see what you did there.
It actually could be a drink, I guess.
Yeah, it could be.
Sure.
Sure, I guess.
I want I decided to go a little more classic with mine. It'd be the Last Oasis in the Desert.
Oh, look at you.
These are old cards, Jordan.
Is that some Arabian Nights shit?
There you go, man.
Yeah.
Of course, it'd be in downtown New York because, you know, that's ironic and therefore hip.
Yeah, I would know. I'm a hipster.
No, that's right, you are. I forgot.
At least I've been claimed as one. Also, another good one would just be Godless Shrine. I think that would be perfect. Perfectly explains the bar. All right.
You guys are funny. All right.
Well, we try. Well, someone has to pick up the slack here.
That's Jordan's favorite place.
Clearly. All right. So we just thought we'd share a couple of things and about what's going on with our local community. We had have a couple big weekends. One just happened, and then the other one's coming up for our local community. So we would definitely like to start off with what happened last weekend in Standard. Me and Jordan both played at a GPT at a local comic shop, and Mike actually went to a PTQ up in Pittsburgh, well, near Pittsburgh, I should say. So definitely want to start with Mike, obviously, because he had way more fun at his PTQ in Pittsburgh. So, Mike, I understand that you told me and Jordan that you had some stories. And,
Very much. First off, shout out to New Dimension Comics. Nice store. Ran a good event. But it's in a mall.
Awkward.
And so the store itself in the mall did not have enough space to run a PTQ. Mm. Luckily for them, the Food David's court? Bridal across the way had gone to business.
Snap.
So we put a PTQ in a place with glass walls and dressing rooms and spotlight lighting.
What?
This is amazing.
It was actually,
why was I not
like,
there?
It was like you couldn't see each other's lands. Like I had an opponent at one point like go just like play a land and say, I'll name human. And he'd play the Cavern of Souls. And I was like, wait, what? Because I'd like lean across the table to see his Cavern of Souls. It was interesting. But the event was run well.
Fair enough.
I ended up a lovely 4-3. It was rough. I was hoping to do better, but mulliganed a lot and scooped to a friend to try and get him to top 8. Luckily for him, he took 9th, so this worked out well.
I mean, we can name drop.
Well, it's Dan Musser. I mean, he's very well known. That's true. I'm actually going to probably, we'll get this later, but probably going to switch to his list for this weekend. So.
Awesome.
So, because I scooped to him, and then we played anyways, and pretty sure I would not have been able to win that matchup. So,
fair enough.
The best story from this, and my PSA, you know, the more you know moment of the week, would have to be a local player. was down there as well. His name's Josh.
Local to Mifflin or local to...
Local to Columbus, I apologize.
Okay.
He was in contention for top 8 in the last round and lost. And was a little upset, went outside and smoked and, you know, disappeared for a little bit. And John just came around asking for his deck list. I was like, oh, pretty sure he's outside. So he came back. I told him, like, hey, get up there. They called top 8. And he was the number 1 seed at X and 2. In fact, he and his opponent filled out the slip, and they gave 2 wins to him and not to the guy who actually won. And his opponent turned in the slip, never actually looking at the slip.
What?
I have a whole lot of feel bads.
Josh was like, wait, what? No, I lost. They could, and the other guy, like, he was a little guy, but I thought he was gonna get a little angry. And the head judge would not change it.
I mean, that's what they tell you.
Yeah. No, so when they tell you at the beginning of a tournament, mm-hmm. always read your slip.
Check it, verify it.
The GD slip. So people are like, why would they change it? And it's like, what's to stop, you know, Jordan from, you know, using it as an example, losing his winning in and then deciding he really needs it and paying his opponent off to go change it. So once it's in. But I watched a person go from not in top 8 to the number 1 seed playing aggro, no less. Meaning he got to go first the entire time.
Entire tournament. Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, he lost in the semis. But,
oh, well.
That's insane, though.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. So.
So it sucks for the guy that didn't make it, obviously, but, like, if you're playing your winning in, dude, you check that sheet 5 times. You have your buddy look at it before you turn it in. Like, hey, I won this 2-0, right? Like, oh, my gosh. Like, what an oversight.
Yeah, and he was, you know, he was obviously upset because, you know, he's not trying to scum anybody.
Right.
You know, I mean, his reaction was just like, no, 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 no. But the head judge is like, you know, this is, you know, regardless of fault here, I'm not changing this. You know, read your slip.
Right.
So,
lesson learned.
Yeah. So, just this weekend, you know, if you're heading to Star City and you're in a big event and you're nervous because you might make top 8, don't let the nerves stop you from, you know, reading the slip so you don't throw it away.
That's insane.
It's unfortunate, but I mean, I wouldn't see it any other way. You have the warning, and we've heard it countless times. Yeah.
But I mean, it's just something that, you know, you hear about this. The judge, every time, you know, the judge is like, check yourself because it'll get stolen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. Read your slip. Yeah, I know. Oops, you didn't read your slip, and now you're not top 8.
So. Oh, and also someone stole your book bags. Exactly. It was just an unfortunate weekend for you.
That's awkward for you as the person that made it and shouldn't have. Because, like, you don't want to be like, yeah, man, I made top 8 of the PTQ, you suck. Yeah. But at the same time, like, I'm not going to be like, no, man, I scooped the first guy I play. Because I'm going to try to win a PTQ.
Right, yeah.
So,
I mean,
it's just so awkward.
I would never fault that person for doing their hardest and trying to battle in that PTQ, even though it was due to a mistake. But it wasn't his mistake in the end. Like, it just wasn't. You know, if you're the winner, that's your responsibility to turn in the slip and look at it and check and verify that it's correct.
Exactly.
If I get it on someone else's mistake, that's someone else's mistake. I'm still going to play Magic, because that's what I would expect, that if that were to happen to me and I was on the wrong end of that deal, that I would want them to play and I'd want them to try to win. I wouldn't want them just to fucking scoop. Like, that would just be a waste of time for everyone involved. And then I would kick their ass.
So moral of the story is have each of your slips notarized before you turn them in.
Yeah, I mean, just bring a public notary. Don't worry, bring their seal, they'll just stamp it and you'll be good. And,
oh man,
if
this gets big, you could be the first notary to work Magic events.
Oh man. Oh, gosh, that's an untapped market. We can't post this now.
Untapped?
Right?
An untapped market?
Oh, no, stop it. Right. Now, like, I'm curious though, is there anything in the tournament, in the infraction guidelines or anything that says, like, because there are scumbags in our game, obviously, who could go, oh, I lost, but I'm going to sign it 0-2, and then maybe hopefully he just sucks at reading the slip, like kind of like a final game almost. Like,
I'm sure that happens.
Yeah, like, is there anything to protect against that other than just read
the protection is the winner takes the slip.
Right, okay.
So if you won and your opponent tries to take the slip or does take the slip, I would have to assume that you would have to immediately go up there and check, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, you would have to, like, if your opponent turns in the slip and you're just like, oh, whatever, oh, what happened later? You got to be responsible for it. That's just how it is.
No, right. I mean,
it's your win. It's your responsibility to report it. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Don't let your opponent turn it in, right? I'm nervous even at a small place like our store at Comic Town. Like, guys, like, I got it. And, like, I watch him really close the entire walk up, like, 8 steps. Like, bro, I will tackle you into that glass case.
Yeah. And most of the time it doesn't really matter, but yeah, I could definitely, we definitely do get some bigger tournaments that actually matter, where that might be a thing, and that might be something you want to definitely verify, but
right. Just
as Mike said, just as a, you know, something that you need to understand and know that it's very important that you do that, and you do turn in your own slip if you win, and that you check it.
That's insane.
It is insane. That's crazy. I didn't even know that happened.
Yeah,
what a great story.
Yeah, no, we did. One of those things that's like, I knew this one guy that, nope, it really happened.
No.
That's crazy.
So I'll go next. Me and Jordan both played at a GPT for Vegas, actually.
So a GPT for Worthless.
Okay, well, I mean, neither of us had the intention of going to Vegas, but Comic Town, our local shop, had Modern Masters payouts, which was, you know, just nuts. Absolutely. That's why Jordan and I decided to sit back and see if we could, you know, get some value, win some Modern Master packs, and they also had drafts going on too, so if you scrubbed out of the GPT, like some people might have done, me, perhaps, you could draft Modern Masters, which we'll talk about later, about drafting Modern Masters. Just a little foreshadowing, it's awesome. So I did scrub out of the GPT, unfortunately. A little bit too early. I was 1-2, and probably could have stuck in to possibly go 3-2, maybe squeak in there, because a lot of people actually dropped out to just draft Modern Masters. But I actually came across my two worst matchups. I did play Junk Reanimator, which, by the way, is still fun. And, well, yeah, but when you play against round one, the only guy in the room playing auras, it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad for you. Yeah, it was, and he was playing Blue, White, Red Auras, so he's playing America Auras, which is even worse, because the cards that we have to fight against it to, like, destroy their auras, well, they play four main deck Boros Charm, so it's kind of bad.
It's
pretty good.
Madcap skills to death.
Yeah, it's awful.
That deck felt so janky, and, like, I mean, he got crushed in top 8, like, not close.
Right.
It's very inconsistent. I mean,
yeah.
The deck has a lot of power, can do stupid things.
Right.
I know who you're talking about, too. They had Curiosities in that list, yes?
I don't know if his list particularly had Curiosities. I know the lists that I've seen have had that, though, yes.
I don't know. It just seems like you're just hoping to not everybody, which sometimes it's where you want to be. So.
Right. I mean, like, I got a game from him, which honestly felt pretty good about, just getting a game from him on the play. But yeah, games 1 and 3, he definitely just bashed me out. Or maybe I didn't get a game from him, maybe he just bashed me out. Whatever. And then I played Jund, and Jund's a fine matchup. I never am scared playing Jund. Mainly because it's fun. Yeah, it's mainly funny when they don't have any lands, and I just laugh.
That kid was so not good.
Yeah,
not happy. I don't want to say no, sorry.
No.
He wasn't great, but he wasn't like, I'll shut up.
He was not pleased that I destroyed all his lands.
Right.
And then I played against, one of our friends, and he was playing Aristocrats. And he walked me pretty good, because that's also a pretty bad matchup for me. And, so yeah. Not the first time I've gotten beat with my own cards, so no worries. But yeah, so that was my experience after that. Even though I probably should have stayed in a drop down, and I joined the last draft for Modern Masters. Didn't pull any money, but, you know, got a, you know, free pack, some value, commons and uncommons, but it was a good time. I enjoyed myself. Also, it led to my long day of Magic, where I played Magic from 10 o'clock in the morning to 4 a.m. on Sunday, and it was awesome.
Yeah, there's also a 3-hour Chipotle break in there.
There was a 3-hour Chipotle break, but then we went over to a buddy.
That's the best part of the day. What are you talking about?
It was pretty good. We all talked. We had a good time. There is a lot of cursing around children, again, for no reason.
Just telling people to stop swearing.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty bad. When he was just
like it was telling people to stop swearing?
Yeah, he was.
Bad.
Yeah, we were. It's pretty terrible. He actually, like, developed a conscience and was like, you should stop that. Then I went away later. And then we went over to one of our buddies to draft a Modern Masters box, which was also fun. Drafted, a pretty fun deck, and then got home at like 1 o'clock in the morning, and then I get a text message from another one of my friends. He's like, hey, what are you doing right now? I'm like, nothing. He goes, do you want to come to one of our local shops and draft a box real quick? I was like, yes. I was like, well, talk to my girlfriend, and she's like, you should go. And I was like, I guess I have to go now. You just told me I should. I can't be like, I don't have any reasons not to. I'm not doing anything tomorrow. So I went down there and I paid, did a draft, made my money back out of the draft because we backwards and forwards rare drafted the drafts based on standings. So
boom.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Got a doubling season. I'm pretty happy about that. Now I can build a Gave Guru of Spores. I also got an engineered explosive, so that's pretty cool.
All the value.
All the value. Well, no, not all the value, because there was definitely a Vendilion Click and a Sword of Light and Shadow that were opened in the draft. So,
Okay, it was, less than some of the value, but
yeah, you know, whatever. I'll take it.
Sure.
So, lastly, we will go to Jordan, who had a little bit more success in the GPT.
I don't know if you can call it success other than just like dumb luck, right? Like, so I start out by playing like two not the best matchups. I played a guy who is now, like, a listener of the show, which is sweet. He's playing Junk Tokens, which, against Jund, it's like, if I don't have just board wipes for days, I just kind of die. Because a Putrefy is a real card, and then one Lingering Souls token is a quarter of a card. So that feels really bad. And he just kind of...
That deck plays Soren, right?
Shut your dirty mouth. Yeah. For people that don't know that story, the real quick version, I punted an on-stream match at a Star City Open with, I should have killed a Soren, and I was just like, no, I'll put you to 9 instead with a bonfire. Your Soren's fine. You need to be below 10 life. And then I just died to Soren because I'm awful. So, that's how that went. Anyway, anytime any black-white player ever, Mike's just like, play a Soren, and he just freezes up. And, like, Jordan gets confused, and then Jordan hurts himself in confusion. So, no, but yeah, so this Junk Tokens player comes in, bashes me out, 2-0, not close. Round 2, I play this guy playing red-green aggro, or red-green-white aggro, and it was just faster in that I could. Like, we played 3 good games, but that deck just had the Gore Clan Rampages when it needed them, and he won, which is, like, whatever, I wasn't too mad about that. So I'm 0-2, and Morgan says, you should just drop and play side events. That sounds fine, right? But I don't have the money to do that, or I don't want to spend the money on that. And I'm like, I can just go, like, crush somebody's dream in round 3. Well, I win round 3, get, like, the awful buy in round 4, and then just win out the rest of the day. And end up splitting for first of the GPT, making top 8 somehow. So... that was fun. Got a box of Modern Masters. I beat that red-green-white guy, the Naya guy again in top 8. I beat him in round of 4, or no, round of 8. So that felt good because, like, he just didn't win his coin flip that game. Like, it was like the hyper aggro, though. It wasn't like the smart, safe aggro. It was just like, oh, I'll Gore Clan my 1-1 on turn 2 and, like, bash you for 5, like, oh, okay, like, that's cool. And he just didn't win his coin flips, so he lost, because that's how that goes. And then I beat some other kid playing Junk Aristocrats, which felt really good for me. So that was that. It was fun. It was really weird to go 0-2, get a bye in top 8, but that's what happens when everybody drops to go play side events.
It also happens when you have how many people in the event?
There was 19? Or no, yeah. I'm looking at it right now, 18. 18.
Yeah.
So, like, it was just like whatever. A box of Modern Masters that I definitely got value out of. Foil Tooth and Nail, Sword of War and Peace, or I'm sorry. What's the good one? That's out of Fire and Ice.
Nice.
Lotus Bloom. Yeah. I mean, I have a spreadsheet of all the value. It's pretty sweet. So I definitely made the money back if I would have bought the box. So that's happy. Went to our buddy's house to draft a box of Modern Masters. Did horrible. I tried to go artifacts, and Morgan tried to go artifacts, and Morgan got the good artifacts.
Yep.
So I'm just playing like these 2-mana like Sunbloom guys that are horrible, and dying to Red White Giants.
Yeah, but we'll go into that in the next segment.
Yeah,
I mean, actually, we can just kind of transition into it right now. So Modern Masters, obviously, we all have had a chance to draft it. I think it's awesome. I think that, you know, for someone who has played off and on, I haven't played with a lot of these cards, but the archetypes just seem so easy to fall into. And it kind of is, you know, once you open your pack, you kind of just determine where you want to go. And, you know, as long as you can read signals and be able to draft competently, most of the time you do get there. I mean, any time that I've tried to draft an archetype, I've usually was able to achieve it. as far as that's concerned. And while I'm definitely not the best drafter, I still had fun, even, you know, building decks, seeing the cards, and just like it's fun just opening packs of that and just seeing what the possibility is that you can get.
You feel like a little kid. You're just like, oh right. Man, I hope it's chocolate Tarmogoyf.
I haven't seen one of those yet,
exactly.
By the way.
Neither have I. Friday, haven't seen one open.
Friday.
I haven't seen one yet either. I saw a confidant, that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We saw a foil confidant, right? Like, on Friday, last Friday, and the kid spot sold it on eBay in like 4 minutes for like $175. Like, he put it in, like, on eBay through his phone, and then, like, a couple minutes later, he's like, oh, yeah, by the way, my Dark Confidant sold. We're like, what? That's insane. So.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Like, the guy that bought it skipped F&M to eBay Shark. Like, he's like, I could go play, but somebody will put a foil Bob online.
I mean, yeah, that seems like good value.
Yeah.
I
don't know. I haven't enjoyed drafting this set.
What?
Well,
it's maybe because you just, like, I mean, maybe
I
you just have
you're wrong. It's
maybe,
wrong.
Maybe it's just you're wrong.
Yeah, I've done it twice, right? And, like, it might be the fact, like, it's like type 4, kind of. Like, anybody's new type 4, you have to, like, read the cards, and, like, that sucks. It's, like, Dragon's Maze Block, like, I love drafting. Like, Dragon's Maze Block's fun because I just look at the picture, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I know what that one does. You know, where I look at the name and I know it. But in this block, I'm having to be like, oh, like, what does a Test of Faith do? Is that card good? I don't know. Like, it's lack of preparation, but at the same time, it's just kind of like, meh for me. Because it's not cards I know. So,
well,
I don't know.
Let me throw this at you, because I actually, when I was playing the game, I quit from Kamigawa all the way up until Scars of Mirrodin. So, 90% of these cards are new to me as well. Like, Mirrodin block, I know. But a lot of the stuff I know through playing Modern itself, or just through playing like Cube and that sort of thing, I feel like what you're complaining about is that it's complex in some way, which cry, but
I don't think that's it though. Like,
but there's a lot of cards I didn't know when I drafted it actually last night, and I was telling before the show here. So I read all the cards. I'm like, well, I could play the try and like be cute, put the Storm deck, or like ooh, the Jinky Mill deck. Instead, I first picked an Imperiosaur, a 5/5 for 4, and played green-red beats with a bunch of removal, and crushed every game. So, I think in those kind of archetypes, like, you can find archetypes you know from other draft formats, and that kind of makes you, you know, like, if you, like, I know a few of our friends who are super excited, like, I get to play the mill deck, and it has all these cards, and I'm like, I never want to care about that.
I never want that to be a thing.
Yeah, because you had to have piece X, Y, and Z, and that doesn't seem fun.
Yeah.
Like, I drafted Red White Giants on Friday at FN.
Yeah.
And, like, that was fun, right? Because, like, I mean, like, and I get what you're saying. Like, oh, that's a red guy that hits hard, and that's a white guy that, like, hits fast. So I'll just play both, and oh, I got magic. But, like, that's no different than just, like, going and drafting Red White Aggro on a Friday night with Dragon's Maze. So I guess, like, it didn't feel special. It was cool to be like, I opened a card, I'm like, oh, this red-white guy is like $30, and he's a 4-3 for 3 or something, you know? So it's just like, oh, whatever, like.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe the fact that it does cost so much doesn't, like, I'm sure if it was a regular price draft, I'd feel much more comfortable, like, back in Innistrad, when you could draft the Mill Yourself deck, or, you know, the Spider deck. Like, you felt a lot more, you felt a lot more confident, like, well, okay, I can have fun this draft, I'll draft it again. So maybe the cost is prohibitive to that. Maybe because it costs so much, you're like, you almost want to draft competitively because, you know, you don't know when you'll ever get to do it again.
Right. Like, I'm not going to pay for another one. I did Keller's, and then I'll do yours on Friday. But otherwise, like, I have a hard time being like $30 to where I had to justify money drafting. I don't know. That's me personally. Like I'm probably wrong, right? Because like everyone loves this, like you said. So, yeah.
Oh,
you know, I started like sit up in my chair and I almost fell. So like I was like, oh boy, I better not fall.
That was perfect.
Ooh, the Planeswalker points website's updated. Random ADHD moment from your at the instep. It's not like
Does
this ugly
care about the Planeswalker points website. Like, how many achievements can you get and they still be worthless?
No, like the GP, like GP grinding, like if you're going for points for GP though. I'm going to
No, I understand. Like, but the focus of the website isn't actually the points.
Right.
It doesn't just say like future points.
The age old question though, if you have 50 achievements and they're worth nothing, what have you achieved?
This philosophy movement brought to you by Mike Kenny.
My mother still loves me.
Okay.
That's what I've achieved. She has to.
Yeah, so you put them out in the fridge. Look, I got another achievement. I defeated the Izzet Guild on the fridge.
That's the worst thing. That is the worst achievement. Like, I have all of these, like, Death to the Izzet Conclave, or the Izzet League, excuse me. Like, it drives me crazy.
Is it just because you guys don't have a Pro Tour champion that won in your guild? Because I do.
But who are you?
I'm the Slesnia Guild. And,
oh, are you?
Props out to Craig Wesco. Bring it home. Bring it home for the guild.
Yeah, but weren't you guys like, wasn't it Azorius that had the most members and the most points, and Izzet, which is myself, number two? So Slesna wasn't even in, you know, top two. Who cares?
Oh, no, not at all. But, I mean, you guys weren't one of Pro Tours. Just saying.
Yeah, I'm Rakdos, so I'm irrelevant. But we had a Rakdos Grand Prix champion, which was pretty sweet. Yeah.
Anyway.
So, yeah, anyway, like, so back to relevancy. Modern Masters sucks. Moving on.
Oh, man. If no one was listening to us before, they're really not listening to us now. Ooh, buddy, we're getting fans, like, left and right.
Oh, that's the podcast where the guy just knowing the cards of Modern Masters.
And that guy just shit on Modern Masters. Fuck them.
That's the kid that went 0-2 and won a GPT.
What the fuck does he know?
Right, like, what's he play? Never mind. These jokes are getting worse. Alright.
Anyway, so, the next thing that we kind of like to do is, we want to really contribute to the community and help people out. And being that some of us have, you know, just started playing again, have been playing on and off again, we thought that we'd kind of answer some universal questions of the community.
Question of the week.
Question. Of the week.
I wanted to do that. It was really rude interrupting you, but...
Yeah, you asshole.
Question of the week.
So, our first question of the week really comes out of, you know, maybe where we were at some point in time where, I'm just getting back into Standard. What would be the best thing to do?
I actually did this myself recently.
Right, I think we all did.
And so I moved down to the Columbus area, and... So I moved to Columbus area, was living alone, and went down to Comic Town because it was the only place I could find on Google. Awesome, the Google. And I've been playing Duel of Planeswalkers, which I think is probably the way a lot of people have come back to the game or are playing the game. Why? So I was like, man, what's good? So I went to Star City and looked up whatever red aggro deck was going around and dropped $50 on the deck and won FNM. So, now, I don't expect new players to just win FNM, but I will say aggro is probably the best way to go. And luckily, there's a lot of really good and fairly cheap aggro decks in the format. The land is a little rough, but
right.
There's a mono red list from Jerry Thompson that's running Dyna Charge. So, like, you can play that deck and play Dyna Charge and probably just get wins, because the most important thing, I guess, in the beginning is you have to win a little bit. Otherwise, you probably don't want to keep playing. I mean,
I agree.
And I'll make you feel bad for losing, so you'll definitely not want to keep playing.
What do you think about the event deck option? Because anytime, like, I see it on the internet, people are like, dude, bro, just buy an event deck. What do you think about that? $25 get 10 rares? That's pretty cool.
I mean, that's fine. I mean, it's kind of awkward now that they've just cut it down to, like, one event deck. So it's like, hey, green-white. And it's like, well, you can buy an event deck. But I don't think that the event decks are, like, almost there. They're just not quite. I still think that you would need extra cards, obviously, to invest into an event deck to make it get there.
Sure.
But it's not terrible. I mean, I don't necessarily, like, depending on the store that you go to and the metagame that's there, obviously you won't know that going forward. But you can definitely ask around and, like, talk to shop owners and see what they have to say about it, you know, if like, if a new
Don't
player would come...
I'm a new player. What should I buy? Well,
not even, like... Not even, necess- not even like ask them what you should buy, but just ask about the store and the kind of the player base that goes Let's there and see if they know about it.
We have nothing but assholes here, and you should probably leave before they show up.
Well, no, that's the thing that, like, is interesting, right? So, I'm a new player, I want to get into Standard, like, the only thing I've ever done is Kitchen Top Magic, and, for example, like, our store, Comic Town, is very competitive in nature, right? Like, the most of the guys at Top 8 there were, like, grinders, or we, like, care about things. This kid that walks in, plays, like, one of us round one, is gonna get stomped, like, and he's gonna be like, oh, that wasn't fun, like,
It happens a fair amount at our store, though, like, I like to teach for some reason, but like I normally at F&M's, like I'll sit there and like try to like help some of the players to show up without sleeves and that sort of thing. Luckily we have a lot of competitive players, but the difference between like a competitive player and an asshole, you know, is a pretty big deal. A lot of competitive players will stomp the hell out of somebody, but then still like show them what they could have done better. You know,
sure.
it's the truly special ones that like stomp on them and then like, you know, also like piss on their cards after they're done.
By the way, you're terrible. I'm taking your drag to us.
You have the right to own these.
Thanks, kids.
No, well, it's cool because, I don't know if you guys remember, but a little while ago I brought a guy to our store and he was playing a Golgari event deck with like the one of Thragtusk that's in the sideboard. And, he got like stomped in three games and he was like, yeah, that was like fun, right? Like, even though I'm playing like the 2/2 imps for two that suck. So that's a good reason to not play event decks, because like there's some power cards, but then
right, it's just not enough.
Right.
Like you could buy the green white deck and be like, hey, do you have, you know, $240 to spend on Voice Resurgence? Because that would make that deck like insanely better.
Oh yeah.
Oh, you don't? Like, oh, okay.
Oh yeah, Voice Resurgence up to $60. That's fun.
The other problem with event decks is that a lot of, and Wizards has gotten better about this, but a bunch of them have like been notoriously full of cards that are about to rotate. So like, for example, the Selesnya one now has like Lingering Souls and stuff in it, which are really good cards, but like if you're a new player, you don't want to spend that much money. You know, we had the one with Stoneforge Mystic after Stoneforge Mystic had been banned, and that was the only way you could play the card. And then there was a vampire one that had like Verdict Catacombs and Vampire Nighthawks, and it was sweet. But the format was going to rotate like a month and a half, 2 months. So like, you won't actually get to play your Fetchland or your Nighthawks. And I feel like Wizards does a disservice to new players. Like they pretend like this event deck is for them. Like, you can play a new deck, but wait for a little while because then you have to buy the new one.
Oh man, like, so the Selesnya event deck, like the Strength of Selesnya or whatever, has Doom Travelers, Geist Honor Monks, Audric, Champion of Lamble. Like, these are, like, what? Like, Advent of the Worm, or not Advent of the Worm, Lingering Souls Rancor. 30 cards in this deck. Yeah. Evolving Wilds.
You can't blame them for that. They have to, like, if you like this one, try the next one, because you can't play that one anymore. But at the same time, it's a little janky.
Right, yeah. It's confusing. It's not necessarily
that's also
wrong.
True. That's also
like,
true.
Cause you, like, so, think about the day after rotation. A, you're not going to know what anybody's talking about with rotation, but you're going to show up and you're just going to sleeve up your deck and shuffle her up and turn one, like, land Doom Traveler, and your opponent's going to be like, yo, judge. Like, and it's going to be all like you and, like, you and I, Morgan, wouldn't, but
we
all probably name people.
We probably would.
No, we had that happen a couple weeks ago where a guy was playing the old Golgari guild leader from the original Ravnica, and his deck was sweet. It was playing, like, Blood Artists and all these sack outlets and stuff, but, like, like, he had called a judge, and he had to take out 10 cards out of his deck and put in, you know, basic lands. He didn't win another game, and he was pretty upset. Like, oh, I don't get to play this anymore? Now, granted, that's a huge extreme case, because you should know that a block from, you know, 6-7 years ago.
Right.
But at the same time, like, it makes for moments like that make you disconnect from the game. Like, oh, I couldn't do what I wanted to do. Well, see you guys.
Right. And, I mean, in all honesty, If you were a new player and you really wanted to start playing Standard, what I would say is you would need to, you'd want to make sure, obviously, what cards are legal in Standard. That is hugely important. Understand what that format is, and know that there are rotations yearly that do happen with it, and being on top of what's in the format. Now, I don't say that you ever have to bring something that is a net deck or anything like that. If you want to bring your brew, bring your brew. I definitely encourage that, because you like winning.
obviously, and it feels even better when you win with your own deck, something that you created. Even if it's just like slight changes from a deck that's out there, you know, if your changes make an impact, it's going to make you feel better, and it's going to make you want to play the game more. In honesty, right now, if you were wanting to get into a standard, I would say just invest in Return to Ravnica cards, Return to Ravnica block cards, at this point in time. Don't make any large purchases on, you know, those Falcon Wrath Aristocrats or those Olivia Voldarians. You know, those are going to rotate out here in, you know, what is it, less than 6 months at this point in time?
And what, it's October?
October,
so, yeah. 6 months, yeah.
So it's like, you know, don't make those kinds of investments. A lot of those cards aren't going to hold their value, you know, and it's just, it's not going to be fun times for you. And just try to build something, you know, as strictly, you know, block dependent, and don't try to make large investments in cards that are going to rotate out. That won't hold value. If you want to buy guys the same traps, go for it. They'll probably be fine investments, but, you know, just try to bring something that you like, have fun, get to know people, be friendly, be open, to, comments about how you play and what you're doing. And, you know, just don't be closed off and aggressive. You're not going to learn anything going to Magic and just being standoffish and,
already believing you're the best.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know, you want to go, because my transition to FNM was I started playing again and I, you know, did a few pre-releases and everything like that. But I was like, well, what am I doing with these cards that I've invested in? And I have a lot of cards for the short amount of time that I'm playing. You can ask my girlfriend. So
I've seen your house now.
Yeah, that's true. Both of you have.
Oh, yeah, I went to his house this weekend, too.
There's a lot of cards, aren't there?
And he shit on it, too.
So I walked in the door, and Catherine was like, our house is such a mess, I'm sorry. And I was like, no, it's great, like, I really love it, I just need to use your bathroom. And, like, I went to the bathroom, and she, like, gave me a hard time about something, and I was like, you know what, you're right, your house was shit. And,
like, so, yeah, it was a good time. But, you know, I decided that I really wanted to start playing competitively, and this was just New Phyrexia had been out. For some time, we were just getting into, you know, strongly into Innistrad block. So I just, you know, started looking at what decks were really popular, what cards I had, and tried to build something similar, and, you know, really just started to invest in it and play and play and play and play. And I you know, gone to plenty of FNMs and just got, you know, bashed out, went to FNMs and won every week for a month, and, you know, always had a good time. But you really, what really keeps you going back and finding a store and finding people that you like to play with and playing with them on a weekly basis. Cause then they become your friends and you want to see your friends and you don't care if you're matched up against them and you get bashed out. You still have fun. You're still gonna crack jokes and everything like that. So really.
Podcast with them and then happily ever after.
Exactly. It's a wonderful, magical story.
Can I soapbox for a minute?
Sure.
I'm sorry, I thought I'd cut you off. No. But the other part of that, too, I think, is there's a lot of writing for FNMs. So there's been two examples of FNM Hero. There was Medina, John Medina, Legit MTG, which I'll name drop them because I really, really like that story. And his was interesting because he's even said he's not that great of a player. So the idea was to play off his budget and everything else. And there's another one on Star City right now. Just, you know, things like that, though, seem to make it, like, they turned FNM into a thing that's, one, not fun, because it's, you know, you're constantly grinding to try and break it. And two, you're taking, you know, the one of Star City as a, you know, the player is probably better than most of the people starting FNM, and probably gives you unrealistic ideas of how you're going to do with, for example, an event deck or a stack of random cards. Like, the best thing you can do is just play, and play, and play, if you actually want to get better.
That's true. That's why you make friends, because then you can play outside of FNM with them. And, you know, that's a huge key to getting better, is, like, not just playing once every week, but it's playing two or three times every week.
Right, and that's the thing that what you said that I like the most was friends are the centrifugal part of this game. Like, if you want to play Paper Magic, you're playing it for the people. If you want to play just Magic because, dude, bro, I got to be the best that there ever was, play Modo. Right, because, like, there's better players there than there are at your local store. But if you just want to, like, if you play in paper, you're playing for the social atmosphere. my like best friends that live around me now play Magic. Like, the guys I spend the most time with play Magic. Like these two losers, I see them more than I see like friends that don't play Magic. And like that's cool because that's why this game's sweet, is because you both, all of you get to compete. You all play a sweet game. Totally go if you're listening to this, which I don't know why you would listen to a podcast and be new to Magic. Go play the game. but if you're listening to this by some random chance, or have a friend that's thinking about playing, to totally take him to an FNM and like blow his mind with how sweet people can be.
It's true. We all are pretty sweet. One thing I would say that if you want to get into Standard, that may not be like the best thing to do is pick up, and this is just for Standard specifically, not necessarily getting into Magic, but just getting into Standard, is get one of the Duels of the Planeswalkers games. They aren't the best for teaching you how Standard necessarily works, because they have cards from a lot of different sets that aren't Standard. Also, the rules are a little bit different because you get a free mulligan. So that might not be the best expectations for once you actually get to a Standard tournament. But they are great for if you're getting into Magic in general.
Definitely makes the game. There's definitely a lot of fun in those games. Like you just play games and jam stuff on there. I mean, you definitely have to transition to the real game, quickly. I think. The same thing with like Modo has. If you ever play on Modo, has a defaults so it speeds up the attack step and stuff. So it can be really hard to grasp the little like, definitely the stack and how instants work and all that sort of stuff. So, but it's definitely a great start. I agree.
So
that's, we got a lot more out of that than I thought we would.
Yeah, we'd like to talk.
No, and that's sick because like there's more to getting into Standard than just what cards to play.
That's true. I mean, that's 100% true. I mean, you really have to analyze what you want to do with Magic. If you just want to play casually with your friends, then Standard's probably not the environment for you because you'll get burned out on it, and it's a bad investment.
Yeah, what you should do, if you just want to play Kitchen Top Magic, look up I'm Tremaine on eBay and buy my Sword of Fire and Ice. That's what you should do. Just own your friends. Mulligan the land sword.
Go.
Yeah,
land bird sword, go.
Yeah.
Snap keep. All right, so the next thing we want to transition into is an experience that me and Jordan actually had recently at a game shop.
Oh, real quick.
Yeah.
Before we do, like, whenever we talk about these experiences, I think it's like important for like the listener or whatever to realize that like apply these to your situation too, right? Like we talk about a lot of local stuff, but like. Think about it, and like if you listen to this, like comment and let us know what you would do in these situations, because like these happen everywhere, and like they're not just Central Ohio crappy Magic stores, or they're not just Central Ohio trashy people. Like this happens everywhere, I'm probably guessing, and like we're just like this is kind of crappy. So
yeah. I might to tack on to that too. I would say now I haven't heard this story yet. I was told to that I'll listen here so I can get a real reaction. But I will say also if you're on Twitter, and I'm going to mess her name up. But Helen
Brugeau?
Thank you, Brugeau. Thank you. I've not heard her name said out loud. But she represents Wizards and is really good about, like, if you go to a PTQ and you tell, send her a message, hey, this happened, it was terrible, they shorted prizes, this and that, they're on it pretty quick. So if you do have something that's bad happen, tell Wizards. They fix these things.
Yeah, they definitely care about how their brand is being marketed and how it's being represented. And like this story, I don't know what kind of level of bad it is. It might just be a feel bad story for the non everyday players that
there's
they get.
There's DCI violation happening in the story.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'll let Jordan tell the story because I clearly don't know what's going on, even though I was there.
So we're Modern Masters drafting, which like the store we're drafting at has sick value. It's $30, and that includes the prize support. Which isn't Modern Masters, but still, like, you can't expect them to give out Modern Masters. Like, that's bad EV for them. So, sick values, a group of us decided to play there. Morgan and I actually won a drop out of the event because we're hungry and want to test Standard. So we draft our packs.
Really just wanted to make out, don't worry.
Yeah. Blowies in the car.
Oh, right.
Yeah, you missed a party, Mike. No, so yeah. Like,
no, I'm good. I'm okay.
We bash two nerds, and then we drop, go get some food, whatevs. One of our buddies is doing well in the event. He's XO after two rounds, loses round three, Right? And then wins round four.
Right.
And he's like getting ready for gearing up for round five because like how many people were in the event? I'm gonna look it up really quick just to be accurate. There was definitely enough for five rounds. Like we should have been playing five is the point. And okay. I don't think they reported it. They didn't, of course not. There's like 20 some people there because it's Modern Masters, right? Like in five rounds starts at 16, if I'm correct. So, but they do four and like at the very end, they're like, okay, like top four come up, like, cause all these people split, I guess. The whole top four is just like, okay, we're just going to draw it out. And so there's four XO1s and then there's our friend who's X1 and he's just like, so like, that's it. Like I'm just done. Like we don't have an extra round. You shouldn't have four undefeated people with like 20 some players. And they cut the rounds at the event short, but they cut a whole round just so like these people could be XO and split. And then that way they could close the store an hour earlier, which.
Ugh, that's rough.
Yeah, like, A, it sucks for the guy that's, like, X1 and just, he's a drawn-in surprise. Like, in, like, best-case scenario. And then it just, like, it's wrong to, like, all, like, even, like, the droolies that are just, like, I just wanted to play with Modern Masters because it's the best thing ever. You know, like, those guys, like.
Uh-huh, you were in that event, right?
Yeah.
Just making sure. Keep going.
No, I 1-0-dropped, so. Like, but like, yeah, so like the people that really wanted to play with this set are out on an extra round of Magic, and they shouldn't be. This, like, and, I've told you guys about, like, stores like this before where there's, like, selling product early, and, like, we never have five rounds because we just cut it around early, and it's just, like, I obviously don't want to call anybody out on, like, the show, so I'm just kind of curious as, like, Mike, what do you think from, like, a third-hand perspective of just, like, this is what I heard? I'm really curious as to what listeners think too, like, and what the next step should be of us as players that played in this event.
I will say, like, that's awful and frustrating, especially if it was supposed to be five rounds. I would wait, like, they took DCI numbers, right? They said they're open with saying they were sanctioning this.
I mean, yeah, I mean, they took DCI, right, I mean, there were slips. I mean,
I'd be interesting to see the. We should wait until that shows up on. Oh, look, Planeswalker Points actually doing its job. Because you could probably report based off that. Be like, hey, look at the sweet four rounds we played, and look at the number of players here to the left. I wonder how that happened. But unfortunately, you hear about this stuff all the time, and you have to report them, honestly. I'm from the Akron area originally, and there's a store up there that openly, like, if it doesn't, you know, it was like, oh, we're not going to fire this game day event, and then puts all of the, every single one of the copies of the promos they get directly on eBay. And does this all the time, which is not okay. And then there's other stores in the Columbus area we talked about here before who, you know, they fire, you know, a lot of the stores go to really big lengths to make sure they have judges and they make sure things are going the way they're supposed to. And then you have the few that are like, oh, we don't need to have judges. We'll sanction, you know, this event that requires a judge. And it just, you know, it cheapens the event or proxy events that are somehow sanctioned, like stuff like that. It's frustrating and sort of demeaning when you've, like, someone who's tried to actually, like, ensure they have the real stuff and be like, oh, don't worry, you can just play, you know, Cockatrice for money.
Right.
I don't think this store would ever go that far. I don't know what other stores, if other stores do that. That's insane. Like, I think that's a point. Like, if someone's like, yeah, dude, totally, you don't have voice resurgence, write it on the back of a basic land. I think I get up and leave. Because that's, you know, why do I even buy cards? I just read show notes. Wow. Getting a little lost. Anyway, like, yeah, because I'm looking at my Planeswalker points for this store for a couple times, and it's like, yeah, player 16, like, there's four things on my account, and, like, I didn't drop, obviously, because, like, I win round four, so I don't know what to do. I guess I can just, like, give feedback on events, right? Like, and just do that thing.
I mean, again, report it to WotC.
Yeah, I mean, that's the best thing, really, to do in that particular instance. I mean, obviously, Jordan and I weren't necessarily invested in it because we just dropped and tested Standard for the next day. But, you know, there are obviously people that were slighted by this and felt that, you know, that nothing was run as it should have been.
I mean, to play devil's advocate, I'll say I wasn't there. And the first thing I heard Jordan say was, our friend was at X and 1, didn't get prize. So I could definitely understand hearing someone hear this and just go, oh man, I didn't get prize and that was mean. But if they legitimately, you know, as you're saying, you're cut around because people were tired and they didn't feel like firing the event correctly, then they need to be upfront with that, first of all. Like, hey, we're only going to play four rounds even though we have this many people, and because of that, we're not going to sanction this event. Like, right. They can't, I mean, they can't have it both ways.
No. Yeah, no, like, it's not fair.
Yeah, so, like, after the fourth round, like, we just, like, okay, we're just going to leave. Like, he reported, and then we're just like, okay, we're just going to go to the bar then, because, like, he's not sticking around for prizes that he's not going to get. So, I don't know. I think it's weird to have four undefeated people in an event of 20-some people. Like, that's not really possible if you do it correctly. So,
right.
I don't know. I just thought that was weird. I thought it was a little rude. Just kind of one of those things. We're just like, well, sucks. So, yeah, I'm in the middle of reporting an event. I'm just going to report every event on my thing that has 16 or higher people with four rounds from them.
So, seems like I got a lot of work ahead of you.
Yeah, no, like, I have, like, five on my front page, so it's just like, whatever.
My other thought would be, and I know who the other person you're talking about here who is upset about the way the prizes and stuff work. I mean, don't play at the store and vote with your dollars. You know what I mean? If you... You know, I understand, like, products all the same, but, I mean, if you are against the way they're doing things, then stop spending your money there and your time there.
Right. Right. And, yeah, we definitely have, I think, swayed Jordan from ever returning there.
What? As it was so bad.
It was bad. The event even, like, didn't start on time.
Yeah, we didn't start, like, drafting until, what, 8:45?
It was terrible.
Like, the thing that drives me crazy, and this right here will be the dead giveaway of who I'm talking about, but, like, I don't even, like, care because it's not, I'm not saying their name, so go to hell. Like, they don't, like, seat you at tables and then give you slips. Like, they print out the slips, put them on their case, and then, like, everybody crowds around and has to just, like, find their opponent. Like,
right.
If I don't know Morgan McCarl, I just have to go like, hey, who's Morgan McCarl? And hope that someone in the room knows who he is.
Well, it's like a cute little blind date.
No, yeah, it is, except like, I want to beat this person and then like...
I mean, you don't want to beat your blind dates?
He's a dude. Sir, I don't take dating advice from... Oh god, I forgot it's Chris Brown. Boom. It would have been better if there was Flo, but... yeah, like... And then, so there's no, like, slips. Like, one person just goes up and signs. And, like, there's been times at the store where, like, so two new kids will finish their match. Like, they'll be friends that happen to get paired together. And I'll be like, okay, who won? And, like, I'll go to the front and sign for this kid. Like, that shouldn't be allowed to happen. But, like, that's the way it is. And, I mean, obviously, by that story, I'm participating. And it's fine sometimes. I guess it works out. But, like, it's gross. And, like, it's not magic. I don't know. Like, and that might just be the competitive player in me that's really frustrated.
Yeah, but like, probably. Like, you're evolving as a player, so you naturally want things to run. As to be expected.
Well, like, I want the kids that play at Capital to not have the same story as I do, right? Like, I don't want to win three FNMs at Capital. Oh, God, I'm just...
You just fucked it up.
Okay, well, whatever. I don't want to win three FNMs there and then, like, think I'm sweet and then go to an SCG open and get bashed out. Because I'm horrible. You know, I want kids to be like, yeah, wow, like, I'm just not good at this game. Like, I'm going to go here. So, like, I don't know. I just want kids to, like, know what a tournament looks like so they don't go to SCG and they're like, what is this piece of paper with these lines on it, you know? Like,
That's how I mark my beating.
I don't know, man.
It's bad, and it's definitely not something that was an enjoyable experience as far as that's concerned, and it's definitely something that needs to be reported and fixed. If you're going to run a Magic tournament, then you should run it correctly.
The positive here is now Jordan can't go back, so this works out well.
Yeah, because everyone's going to listen to this. Yeah, sure.
I mean, I will say this. You know, having mentioned the store by name, I've never entered this store. But I will say, if this ever gets back to the people who work there, having never entered your store, not just the stories here, but stories I've heard from players all around the Columbus area, has made sure that I never go to this place.
Mm-hmm.
And I would hope that, like, if you as a listener, and I'm addressing people who don't exist, so that's fine, but, like, if you have a similar situation with the store in your local area, like, oh man, this happened and this happened, then once again, vote with money. Oh, great, I'm not going to go there.
Right. Yeah. Exactly, and that's the best thing that you can do. And of course, report any, you know, misgivings, to WotC, to Wizards.
So let's go ahead and we'll kind of go ahead and look into the future. We have a big Standard Open coming to our local area. Before we get into that, though, we'll have to go back to the past and look at last week's Open Series. So obviously, there was a few other GPs that happened. I think Providence was one. I thought there was another one.
There was. It was I don't know. It's the G.
Yeah.
It was.
I know. I can't. Yeah, I know that the hashtag was GP Goth. So
yes, it was.
Those two, the Providence was Team Sealed, I believe.
Yes,
and
it was.
That sounds. So we'll focus on Standard and it maybe like we did last week, a little bit of Legacy. So this week's Standard Open was won by Casey Hanford. He actually, it's listed as Aristocrats, but it's more of a black, white, red mid-range deck, actually, when we take a look at it.
Is it? I'm like, oh, it's not a...
No, it's actually, there was another list that actually was featured by the crew there. That was more of a black, white, mid-range deck, which I actually saw being played at the Standard event.
You're talking about 14th place. John Douglas has Knight of Infamies and Silverwood Paladins. And Vindexilla's Conscripts? Man, I'm behind that.
I don't think it was this one either. Let me see if I can find the list and bring it up. But we'll keep talking about it. Some other standouts that we get are a couple of Knight Blitz decks that are coming back into the metagame. I was pretty sure that deck was hopefully dead, but apparently it is still alive and kicking. So what do we think about Nia Blitz and its standings here? I mean,
Fire Force Fist Striker is pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, that's a guy.
I like that this, because for a while people were putting that Viashino First Striker guy in there.
Yeah.
The 4/4 for three, right?
He comes in as a
4/4 and he gets a little bump there.
Yeah, I didn't like that guy. People were cutting him over frontline medic, or putting him in over frontline medic, and that seemed bad to me. So I'm glad that didn't actually catch on, because there's something about like a recurring effect that you get every turn that allows you to swing past dudes, or a 2/2 on turn 3, or on turn 4, you know.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the card's good. It's played in a lot of aggressive decks as it is right now, and I think that it's definitely a fine addition to that deck. Fits great with the two drops. It comes off of your Burning Tree Emissary, really nice. Are you just living the dream if you just go like Champion, Burning Tree, Fire Fist? And then swing, and then they can't block. Like, that's just amazing.
I actually did some testing, and I'm still playing, Naya midrange, against a list a lot like this. Last night, I played about 10, 15 games with the guy at one of the stores just to test. And honestly, the only games I ever lost against this was the ones where they're regurgitating, three Burning Tree Emissaries. But I will say, the Firefist Striker and Madcap skills are interesting. I mean, like, this deck seems like it would have a hard time with Lockstone Smiters and Boros Reckoners. But half the deck is designed to just say, you're never going to block this card, and by the time you get a chance to, you're dead. The difference he had compared to these Blitz lists, he was actually playing Fireheart Wolf as an additional way to get the blockers around. I liked it a lot with Lightning Maulers.
I guess that's true. That's kind of insane.
I feel like, I mean, there's a lot of the decks, including the one I'm playing right now, are trying really hard to just stick, like, a Boros Reckoner to allow them to turn the corner. And this deck's like, fine, stick your Boros Reckoner. We don't even care. Like, they're not even playing Searing Spear at all in this in the list that took second. It's just like that. We don't even care. Don't want to kill creatures. We just
don't. And I think that's the best way to go about it. But it's kind of insane that this deck kind of just blasted through everyone. And if you're really looking for an aggressive deck to go for... You definitely have to run hot with it, but I mean, Blitz might be back, and I think people might not be expecting it. They might be expecting the more Meteor aggressive Naya decks that you know have your traditional Reckoners, your Experiment Ones or Drive Militants, what have you. Or even like the Idol Naya that's been popular, which looks like it actually got third place with the Thunder Mauls and the top end and the four Domries.
I think this list was pretty much the list. No, it's not. Never mind. Because the list I played in the top 8 of the GPT was playing that dude. It was a very similar list, right? Except I guess it was playing the Vampire Nighthawks, and it was playing the dude that, like, Battalion can't be blocked by tokens. That
Legion Loyalist. I saw a lot of
Legion Loyalist.
Yeah. That, like, first off, that
probably just
me. Like, I was so weird. I was like, so I can't block him with my token. I'll block this other guy. He goes, no, it's all my creatures. So I was like, okay. So I moved my wolf token to another guy, and he's like, you still can't block with that with a token. And like, he was like clearly frustrated because I was being an idiot. But I was just like, wait, can I read this guy like for the third time this match? And like, it just tags it on there at the end. Oh, and the guys can't be blocked by tokens. Okay, bye.
Yeah, Lingering Souls is a card. We forgot about it. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, man, I wanted my wolf. I wanted my Huntmaster's pet to be able to block.
That's
why that card's relevant. And I was like, bummer.
There's a lot of that card, and it was funny because I watched a couple of Junk Aristocrats player get totally blown out by it because it was I'm going to play this Lingering Souls and flash it back, and the guy's like, okay, well, I'm going to play this Legion Loyalist and still kill you. So
I'm going to play this Legion Loyalist and not care. Is that good?
Oh, yeah,
so the theme of the week.
So many decks.
Theme of the week is don't block.
Apparently.
Yeah.
So this Nihilist in third place. The only differences between this list and what I played, he played Goreclan Rampagers and he cut a land, and I played Huntmasters and kept the 24th land in. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I mean, I'd have to see how this worked. Rampager's sweet, but you pretty much win combat most of the time already. So I don't know. I want to add another Huntmaster if I keep this list. I already told you that, Morgan. So I don't know about that. But
sure. Yeah, whatever
next
you
week,
want,
though. What?
I said, whatever you want, Mike.
Hey, your collection is there to feed me. I mean,
Papa Morgan's got you.
That's your name from now on. I don't even care. I'm just going to call Papa from now on.
Papa. Makes sense. Jordan was supposed to take the mantle of being the card giver, but he has not been stepping up his fucking game.
Dude, I get paid one?
Yeah, people like him are really good about saying they give things away and then actually not giving them away.
I know, right?
What are you talking about? I don't even know what that means.
Don't worry about it.
What are you referring to, Mike? Do I owe you something?
Something about religion.
Wow.
Anyway.
We'll talk about it after the show.
Moving forward, just a couple more lists in the top 8 here that I want to take a look at. Rounding us out, we have a Jund list, which, you know, you expect to see. Seems like typical Jund.
Always bride for a bride, right?
Yeah, well, sometimes, you know. Yeah, they are running Slaughter Games again, which is something that I know Jordan's doing. I'm just not a fan of that card. I don't know why
I'm not either.
Like, who you're running it against? Like,
no, I don't side it in. It's literally like, if the new Cyborg rule was in effect, I would run 13 cards. Like,
I mean, there's better cards you can certainly run over it.
Yeah, I'm gonna put in, okay, in place of those, the Gaze of Granites are sick, but you know what's better than Gaze of Granite? Baraska.
Well, yeah, you definitely need a something.
Because
Baraska better than Gaze of Granite?
Well, I mean, okay, so Gaze of Granite, like, doesn't just hit, like, whatever I want it to hit.
Gaze of Granite's in there to play it for zero and kill all the tokens.
I was always going to play Gaze of Granite in the Auras matchup.
It's probably good there, too, but Gaze of Granite, like, his utility there is to just kill all the Aristocrats and kill all the, you know, it's never been played for more than three anyways. And how is Baraska good in the... In the Auras matchup, I'm confused. Like, I don't have those cards.
It's really good against Braska's like insane against what is that? Blue, white, red with the Assemble the Legion, or like against Aristocrats Assemble the Legion, because it's the only art or the only enchantment hate I have. I was playing. We played for the GBT was also giving out an open trial on Saturday, and we played like we split or played for the open trial. He just stomped me with Assemble the Legion both games. Like, not close. Because once that gets ticking higher than higher, like, it doesn't matter what, you know, like, I top deck Bonfire, okay, bro, I'll go to, like, 9 and then bash you for 30. So, Baraska deals with that. I don't know. I like it.
You need an answer to permanence in general.
I agree with that. I don't think, I don't know, I think it, I could see playing a Baraska. I could see it. I don't think Gaze of Granite is the thing. Morgan, I just heard your phone. It's awesome. Now I want to go play Legend of Zelda even more.
You're welcome. I fully believe, I mean, because Gates of Granite have also seen inside boards of Junk Reanimator, and that card seems fine. It seems does seem like a blowout against tokens.
Yeah,
so,
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, it definitely, like, I've been able to do that for against Aristocrats, where you just, like, kill your board and bash in. It does feel really good. It's sort of a Nombo in our deck, because anything over one will kill our mana dorks, so that kind of sucks, but I think it's fine. I think I would still rather have a Vraska or even an Acidic Slime, like...
not you.
funny that happening there.
Week, every round on Saturday, dude, you need Acidic Slimes on the sideboard. Like, after rounds one and two, like, I'm starting to believe them, but then, like, I went out and I'm like, bite me, Morgan, I don't need your slime.
And then in the finals, you're like, okay, maybe I do.
Yeah. Well, I'm like this kid that, like, somebody's pestering him to do drugs. And I'm like, no, man, I don't do that. And then, like, life's hard, and then I'm like, man, drugs sounds really good. And then, like, I get a job, and, like, I join sports, and I'm like, I don't need that stuff. And then, like, in the last round, I have this big fall, and I'm like, okay, I'll do heroin, whatever. Like,
but no, play Vraska. Vraska's much safer for your deck.
Yeah, I mean, she's such a utility. She protects herself. I swear to God, I'm gonna get to use her ult and kill somebody.
I mean, that's the dream. That's what when I was playing Jen, that's what I always wanted to do, was ultimate her and kill someone with those tokens.
What's your life total, sir? 19? Oh, how about dead? Why have I only done 2 damage in, like, 12 turns? Shut up. Shut your mouth.
Guess you shouldn't have got stuck on land.
You know what? That's a... I don't know if you're ready to transition, but I kind of wanted to do scumbag stories, and I had one that I wanted to share.
Okay. Well, the last thing I want to bring up is Esper Control got 8th, and so that might be a thing, maybe. Is playing... yeah, it's got to be playing Aetherlink. Yeah, Aetherlink's a card, guys. Keep playing that card. We told you last week.
Aetherlink's amazing.
It's a card. Gonna suck to play against. It killed me. I actually played the 9th place Reanimator list by Lucas Parson, and actually did really well. I played in a standard event on Sunday, and I went out and split for tops. It was a very solid list. Very happy with it. Weird thing about it, it only has 2 Voices of Resurgence. I'm not sure if I'm too down with that, but it was definitely a very, very awesome deck. Probably will take a look at making some changes to it. It didn't play any Caverns, which I did not agree with. So I took out a Township and a Forest to play 2 Caverns, and I still played the Vault of the Archangel. Vaults never really came into play, but if I'm going to play Utility Land, it's going to be Vault over Township just because I don't have Souls. And sometimes that's relevant. I might just take it out just for another Forest. I'm not sure how much of an impact it actually makes in the game. Could make a huge one against aggro decks, though. And that's probably why it's in there. But yeah, this list looks solid. The only thing I think I would really just want is more Voices. But maybe I don't need them, as my aggro matchups were insane all day. Alright, so...
one of these days, when we get viewers, we're going to have to release a copy of the show notes to, like... like, once people, like... If people ever care about us, like... Just be like, guys, this is what we actually do the whole time. We just, like, make jokes at each other on the Google Doc. And that's why we had to change Google Docs from the one that was publicly posted.
Jordan, nothing's going to change. No one's ever going to love you or care about you.
Well, Keller, or one of our friends at Chipotle, while we were waiting, said, like, he was looking at our statistics on iTunes, and he was like, sorry, I accidentally hit download. Don't worry, I stopped it.
Fair enough. So yeah, we'll move on. Do you guys want to talk about anything you were planning on playing for, you know, Star City Games Columbus, which is next week? What? Oh yeah, wedding.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Wedding. He's gonna have another one. Like, what in the world?
Wow.
Anyway, well, Jordan's gonna be playing getting
alcohol.
Drunk at a wedding.
Still play alcohol.
No, except, like, it's not, because it's one
of... Oh, it's a dry wedding, too. Oh,
yeah,
man.
It's, like, one of our weddings. So it's, like, horrible. And,
just,
like...
Just the baddest of beats there.
I
well...
Fringe knew this kid in college, and, like...
Don't worry. Me and Mike will drink for you at Barley's. How's that sound?
Yes.
Does it sound amazing?
No!
Sound amazing? It sounds pretty amazing
no,
to me,
dice
honestly.
Game. So many inside stories we just don't have the time for. Okay, I know. No, like, I would play Jund again. I just think the 50-50 matchup is insane, and if you're not bad, like, I'm getting so good with the deck, or so much better anyway, like, kind of just realizing, like, oh, well, I'm just dead here, or, like, no, I can actually play this out and draw good. It's really fun to, like, get a deck where you have decisions and learn interactions, and, like, this is the first time I've experienced this moment with a deck in Magic where I've just gone, oh, this is crazy. Like, I have decisions to make, and they're all good and fun, and it's great. So I would play Jund. Definitely add the Vraska, as we talked about. That card's insane. Gaze of Granite, because I have a hard time against tokens and aristocrats. So, yeah. Mike, what would you play? Or what are you playing?
I'm torn. I really enjoyed the Nia deck, but I felt like, unless you go back to the version that was running, like, Experiment ones, which I didn't like very much, then the deck desperately almost wants a Farseek, but then you water the deck down so much, it's frustrating. Like, the hands where you just have, like, Domirade and X amount of creatures, you feel unbeatable. But I mulliganed so much this weekend and had so many awkward land draws, it was very frustrating. But a friend up north, I'll mention Dan Musser, same guy I scooped to, he's been testing a four-color reanimator list that's pretty awesome. Stomped me in the face took Ninth on Breakers, because, yeah, that's what he does. So I'm going to sleeve that up tomorrow night for testing, and I'm going to try that out. We actually might end up having a couple people down here on that now, so that'll be interesting to see. But I really
want
to
be on that so bad.
What?
I said I want to see that deck so bad and see how it is, because I might want to be on that, and it'll be very unfortunate.
It's, I don't know, you get to play Reckoners and Blasphemous Act, you also get a Barrow Rites and four Angel Serenity. That's honestly my favorite thing to cast in Standard. It has been since it was printed. So, I don't know how you lose when you have, you just keep looping them in the slide. Like, you have to, like, actually laugh out loud at your opponent while you're doing it too. Like, play another Angel? So.
Yeah, I did that, and it was awesome. It felt really good on Sunday.
It feels good.
It feels probably not for them, but it feels good to me.
Oh, well, that's true too.
And I'm still probably gonna be on Junk Reanimator. It's never felt bad. You know, if something feels good, you just keep doing it and doing it and doing it, and that's where I'm at right now.
Doing it and doing it, doing it well.
And doing it and doing it and doing it. And that's what I'm gonna keep doing.
I'm gonna get you a shirt that says Slime Time on it.
Please do. I will wear it all the time. I'll wear it when I take a shower.
I'll wear it when you take a shower.
We'll both wear it. One shirt. While you take a shower.
Both me and you, Mike, you gotta get like a 6X.
Yeah, 6X, exactly. And then we'll tell you why it's slime time.
Oh no.
Whoa, I don't understand. This is
suddenly making me sad.
Well, we should just wrap her up then. Scumbag stories?
Sure, Jordan, you seem to have one.
Yeah, no, I played this kid at the GBT, and like, he's typically pretty cool, right? Like, I don't know him, but he seems alright. And like, he kept this really bad hand with, like, 5 land and 2 spells, and then got surprised when he got flooded. And then he just, like, raged. And it was really awkward for me as, like, the guy just, like, stomping his face. Because, like, I mean, it's no secret to you guys if you're, like, new to the show and don't know me. I'm really, really lucky. Draw the literal best. So, like, this guy is, like, flooding out, and I'm just drawing all the answers. Like, I draw my dead bridge chant in the sideboard games, and so, like, of course, every time I do it, I lay a Thragtusk on the table. And, like, I'm like, well, I gained 5, or, like, I did it, oh, this was sweet, I did it with a Huntmaster.
So you're the scumbag here?
Well, no, like, I'm just playing Magic, right? Like, I'm just trying to win. And, like, I did dead bridge chant with a Huntmaster, said go, Huntmaster flips because you don't cast it, right. And, like, he was just raged, and he was so mad, and, like, kept calling his deck a piece of shit, and was like, I'm supposed to stomp the Jund matchup. Like, Jund's, like, really good for me. And I was like, apparently not when you keep 5 land hands. Like, I don't, like, I just don't, people that act that way confuse me. Because, are you having fun? I don't know, like, and it just makes everyone else more uncomfortable. So I guess, like, don't be like that.
Fair enough.
Because, like, you could be a really cool person, and if you, like, just act like a prick, like, no one likes to be around that during the game. It just, I don't know, it just really upsets me, like, that the game is ruined because these people can't handle losses. And it's just awkward, because I handle awkward situations really poorly anyway, but, like, when you're, like, mad at me because I'm drawing, like, the nuts and you're drawing, like, land, it's weird. I don't know. That's not really a scumbag story. I guess it's kind of a scumbag story, right? Like, he kind of treated me bad, treated his deck bad. He said some bad things about his deck. What if it had a personality?
Yeah, you know, coming from a guy whose nickname is Big Tears, I'll say, you know, it can be difficult to learn to understand that. Maybe that person should go and read my published article about this.
Oh, my God.
Oh, over at, is that over at Legit MTG?
It sure is. Maybe Jordan should know that in the show notes. Because,
yeah, no, if you link it in the chat, I'll put it in the show notes. It's relevant.
Oh, man, I feel really bad about doing that. Like, I'm going to go cry now.
No, it's relevant. It's actually relevant to our discussion.
Listen, if it gets us one listener, then I'm fine with it.
and then that same listener is like, man, these guys are douchey for doing this, and then they never comes back.
I mean, I don't give a shit. They downloaded it. It looks good for us.
We have, like, 2 hits on the video, and they're, like, both me at work.
Did anyone do it yet? No.
Activate. So, Mike, you saw a bunch of randos this week, and you had to have, like, a good story, right? Like, just people you didn't know, there had to be some kind of...
There's one I have to tell you. So, guy walking around the PGQ with his whole collection in a big plastic tub. We knew it was his whole collection. It was huge. Like, he had 2 hands under it the whole time, could see through it, all the stuff. And he had wolf statues, like figurines, as big as your hand, like 3 or 4 of them. And he actually, like, sat down next to me in one of the rounds, and his opponent sat down across from him. He's like, oh, are those your wolf tokens? And with a whole straight face, this guy just goes, no. And he goes, these are my wolf tokens. And pulls out a small little plastic Tupperware container of various zoo animals that are even smaller.
What?
And his opponent's like, oh, okay. And then he proceeds to arrange all the wolf statues so that they're looking at his opponent and then never break a smile.
What?
His national hero.
I could not get a picture because, like, I took my phone out and, like, I could not find a way to take a picture without blatantly being like, you're crazy and I need a photo of this. The funniest, because, like, the guy was, like, his opponent was, like, looking around, like, in desperation, like, oh, those are your wolf tokens? The guy's like, no. And he's just like, oh. And he's just like, I'm playing a crazy person and I don't know what to do.
That's insane. Like, so are we talking, like, chessboard or worse?
Worse, I think. Because, like, all his actual wolf tokens were, like, if you went to, like, you know, like, a toy store and bought, like, a bunch of, like, think, like, army men, like, the green army men, but they were just animals. That's the little tub that he pulled out saying, no, these are my wolf tokens. And they were, like, giraffes and elephants and stuff, but the wolves themselves,
it's, like,
no.
Serious. Like, he's like, no, by the way, these are it. Like,
yeah, exactly, exactly. And he just, like, stared down his opponent, like, look at my wolf pack. You will die.
Well, he just...
It just reminds. Have you guys seen those Old Spice commercials that have like the animals?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
That's exactly what it reminds me of. That's amazing. I want to meet this man. He needs to sign my Huntmasters of the Fells because he is clearly the Huntmaster, right?
He is clearly the Huntmaster.
I just can't believe like looking at a person going, "Oh, those statues are neat." Like you probably don't think they're neat, right? But you're trying to be conversational.
Exactly.
And then, like,
exactly.
The guy's like, "No. These are my I can't even do it without laughing. Like,
these are my children. One's name is Ithacus.
They cannot be expensive. I'm gonna buy some and try that at F&M.
Like, don't do that. You're not gonna make friends that way.
No, I have friends already though. Like, I don't know. I'm on a podcast with 2 guys that don't hate me. I guess. But like, I just can't even be like, no, my wolf tokens are these small miniature figurines, sir. What? You're, like, as if the guy asking the question
exactly.
Is an idiot.
That was like, the crazy thing. The guy's just like, no. Like, who the hell are you? Like, no, no, you're wrong. You've never been more, I think, you ever seen, There's Something About Mary?
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy, what somebody brings up, you know, 7-second abs. And like, or 6-second abs. Like, no! There's no such thing!
It's like, it makes me think, 'cause like this guy, the wolf guy, is gonna go back to his podcast or his friends and tell a scumbag story about this guy that thought his wolf statues were his wolf tokens. He's gonna be like,
podcast, like is the wolf bag podcast a real thing?
Yeah,
like,
on MTGcast, you know.
Like, maybe it's a legitimate troll. Like maybe he does that just to go around
oh
and see what action.
I hope so. If so, he's the genius of the group, right? Like he wins. But like if he goes back to his like creepy friends and his like basement. F&M, like, guys, this guy thought these wolves were my tokens. Can you believe that? like,
you know how ridiculous that is? Look how big they are. Why would I use them as tokens? It's not representative.
I mean, these are clearly my tokens. They're small like a tutu. They're green like a green wolf. This guy thought my gray statues were. What? It blows my mind. I hate America.
I'm just glad this man exists and is in the world.
Yeah, this guy is somewhere living a life right now.
Yeah. Did you say you hate America, Jordan?
I did.
Now the NSA is going to be tracked.
What are you doing?
Bomb, plane, building.
Oh,
what?
Man.
Oh, we're tagged. Oh, no. Anyway, yeah, so we gotta wrap this thing up. Goals for the week?
Top 8, win the damn thing.
I'd like money. I haven't not moneyed at Star City, so I'd like to money at Star City.
Yeah, winning at TCG feels janky when there's a Star City coming around.
Go on, play some awesome 2-headed giant with my wife, because that's what I'm doing Sunday. No legacy. All the 2-headed giant.
Oh, wait. Is there a 2-headed giant tournament?
Yes.
Morgan, I'll be in town Sunday. Do you want to go play 2-headed giant?
Is that what the second half is? Or is there just like a secondary tournament?
It's like at noon on Sunday. Star City always does that.
Oh, nice. Yeah, Jordan. Let's,
dude.
That's 2 HG this up. I mean, HG this up. Excuse me.
I am so glad I made this podcast to hook you two up.
Yeah, there you go.
I did this podcast.
All right, so I'm playing for 2-headed giant on Sunday. My goal is to win that thing, round one, bash out Mike and his wife.
Yeah, that sounds nice. We'll go get dinner afterwards. It'll be nice.
Oh, my goodness.
Should you get us dinner beforehand, if that's your plan? I mean...
Afterwards. I like it when you cry into your meal.
This is good.
Why is he crying? I don't understand. No, I actually haven't ever, like, met Katie. Like, I've met her once, and then, like, I hear all this about her. So that'd be cool to, like, hang out with her for a little bit, hang out with the Kenny family. So
there you go.
Yeah.
That'll be a good time. So, I mean, like, it's another weekend of magic. Let's keep doing this.
Yeah.
Seems like a good time.
If I got a date, would we want to, like, triple date? I know that's, like, a big deal, like, if I got a date.
That's what you can do.
You stay away from me.
Should probably keep our personal life out of this. I have something I want to tell you guys after the podcast is over. Anyway, like, goals, standard goals, or, like, if you want to win the thing with your wife, that's cool. What's the goals for this weekend, buddy? Money?
Just cash. That's all I want.
Morgan wants to win, Mike wants the money, Jordan wants to miss it for a wedding.
Yeah, but yo, we'll rock that 2-headed giant tournament. Don't worry. Yeah,
absolutely.
Don't worry. It'll be a good time. Good time. All right. So that's a good note to wrap it up on. Everyone, this has been At Your End Step, and you guys have a good time.
You may go to your turn.